He does know about tomorrow, even though we don't. He has given us some understanding of some things about tomorrow. But you know, I think one of the important things about understanding tomorrow is remembering yesterday. There's a lot of things about history that give us insight and some things about what's coming. Look at, turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 2, Daniel chapter 8, and Hosea chapter 4. 2 Thessalonians 2, Daniel chapter 8, and Hosea chapter 4. And I've titled the message this morning, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. Because there's a lot of lies going around today. Daniel chapter 8, well, 2 Thessalonians 2, Daniel chapter 8, and Hosea chapter 4. Daniel, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 to 12 of this chapter. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. So, there's something about the future we can know, right? Amen. Jesus Christ is coming back. And we're going to be gathered together with Him. He says, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in your mind or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. So there's some deception going on, and deception under the guise of being from the Apostle Paul and others that is causing these believers some concern. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Deception. He's a liar. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So something's holding us back. He says, but we already see the mystery of iniquity at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Something's going to be removed, which I believe is the Holy Ghost, before the man of sin is going to be revealed. Verse 8, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they perceive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now go to Daniel chapter 8, please. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 9. Daniel 8 and verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, and it waxed great, even of the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, it magnified him, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. 2 Thessalonians talked about this lie and the deceit and so forth. Here we see truth cast to the ground. And then Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God. in the land. Daniel reveals the kingdoms that are going to succeed the Babylonian kingdom. Daniel is among those who are carried captive by the Babylonians from the southern kingdom of Judah, carried captive to Babylon and served there. And that 70-year captivity, Daniel was in Babylon, and God then gave him some understanding of some things that were going to come to pass in the future. Daniel, the book of Daniel is a good book to use if you want to prove to skeptics that the Bible can be trusted. Because the things that God revealed to Daniel could not humanly be possible to know or understand. He had revealed to him that the Media-Persian Empire, called by name, was going to defeat the Babylonian Empire. And after that, he had revealed to him by name that the Greek Empire was going to defeat the Media-Persian Empire. God showed Daniel these empires by name that were going to come to power years in the future. And then after that, not by name, but the Roman Empire was then revealed as well. In addition to revealing these empires that are going to come to power after Babylon, and even though the Roman Empire isn't named by Daniel, we can see that it was the revelation there was fulfilled by the Roman Empire. The interesting thing about the Roman Empire was that it was never defeated by another kingdom. The Media-Persians defeated Babylon. The Greeks defeated the Media-Persians. The Romans defeated the Greeks. But the Roman Empire basically was just absorbed, kind of fell apart and was absorbed. And what's interesting about that, as we read there in Daniel chapter 8, is what is known as the reviving of that Roman Empire. You see, Daniel saw what was immediately going to take place, or in the near future for him, with, you know, a few hundred years. But he also saw what was going to happen several thousand years after his time. That revival of the Roman Empire. I believe that's what we're waiting for now, and maybe even beginning to see now, is that revival of that Roman Empire, and out of which is going to come this Antichrist, which was spoken of there in Daniel chapter 8 and here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He is going to come out of this revived Roman Empire. It's going to come together. Now, some have speculated that, well, it's going to be the British Common Market, the 10 kingdoms were associated there. But at this point, that seems to be false, because there's more than 10 kingdoms involved in the British Common Market. So I don't pretend to know how all this is going to play out. I just know it's going to, because God said it was. And I'm not worried about having it all figured out down to the last jot and tittle of the thing. Because, as the guy said, it's in God's hands. He's in control of it. He's got it all worked out. He knows what's going to take place. He knows where we're going to be in all that. And, you know, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. And I trust God to take care of the rest of it. But we see all these things taking place. And this one who's going to rise up out of this empire, this one who opposes God, seeks to overthrow God, seeks to be placed instead of God, to be worshipped as God, sitting in the temple of God, causing that daily sacrifice to cease. And the fact that Daniel saw that means that that temple in Jerusalem is going to have to be rebuilt, and daily sacrifice is going to have to be restored by the Jews there for all that to take place as well. That's coming. You can speculate all you want, and I know there's some different information out there suggesting how this is going to come to pass. Could be, I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. I don't know the details. But this one is going to rise out of this thing. And he's going to oppose God and all that's right and all that's good and truth is going to be cast down in the streets, as he said there in Daniel chapter 8. And at the root of all this are lies. You know, we're bombarded by lies all the time. The advertising industry is built upon lies or deception, trying to make you think something that's not true about their product so you'll buy the thing. Ken told me this morning that Donald Trump says that he's read the Bible more than anybody else. And he's the one going around calling everybody else a liar, right? You're lying! You're a liar! Lies. And he says he can't release his income taxes because he's under audit. And that's a lie. He's the biggest liar of them all. Lies all around us. Harry Reid stood on the floor of the Senate 4 years ago and said that he had it on good authority that candidate Romney didn't pay any income taxes. When called on that later about it being a lie, he laughed it off and said, well, he didn't get elected, did he? Lies. And they don't care. And it's not just the Democrats. The Republicans are just as guilty. And you know what? Psalm 16, verse 11 says, all men are liars. How many of you have a child that's ever lied to you? Maybe I should say, how many of you have a child that's never lied to you? It's a problem. And it's one that we adults struggle with as well. Lies are all around us. The Bible says, as I mentioned, all men are liars. But you know, some lies are of greater significance than other lies. And certainly in the political realm, I mean, these things have some effect on us. But there are some lies that are far more damaging than the lies that the politicians are telling or the lies that the advertisers are telling. It's not a life until the child is born. It's a lie. Or, oh, the Sodomites were born that way. That's a lie. I'm reading a book now, the Bible of Inclusivism. And this guy is going, he had two chapters all about how the Bible, you know, the understanding of sodomy is incorrect. And trying to show from the Bible that it's all right. They're born that way and all this nonsense. It's a lie. And these lies have some effect. That's why we got that to sign that petition back there for this fairness doctrine, fairness law, or whatever it is, a bill that's being put forth in Pennsylvania. It's a lie. All religions will lead you to God. That's a lie. That'll send you to hell. There's more than one way to heaven. Again, a lie that will send you to hell. And you think about all the lies that are told around us. And many of these lies, these last four especially, are in direct opposition to and even defiance against our God. Because of what He has revealed in the Word of Truth. We have this to expose the lies. Religion is based on lies. And I want to show you what's behind all of these lies this morning. First, look at this, the origin of the lie. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus is speaking here and he's addressing the religious crowd of his day, the Pharisees, the very Orthodox Jews, as staunch holders to the Old Testament and the law and every jot and tittle of the law and so forth. In fact, Jesus said to them, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So these people, these are the ones that the wise men came to, or excuse me, Herod came to when the wise men came seeking where Jesus Christ was born. And they pointed Herod to where he was to be born. They took him in the scriptures and showed him where Jesus Christ was going to be born. So they knew the scriptures, and they were orthodox in their belief and everything. But Jesus said this to them here in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus answered unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Jesus, speaking to these religious people now, says this in verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. Right across the face. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. You see that? The devil is totally absent from the truth. He says there's no truth in him. And he goes on, he says this, because there is when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. The father of lies, Satan himself. No truth in him. That's the origin of the lies. And you can go back to the Garden of Eden. You see in Genesis chapter 3, he began with his deception and his lying to Eve to get her to partake of the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, you're not going to die. Well, that's what God said. That if you eat of that tree, in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. Oh, you shall not surely die. God's just being a mean old God and doesn't want to have some of that nice fruit there. And he accused God of lying to them when he was a liar. Because he's the father of it. And again, I think about Trump there. The one who's making the biggest noise about other people being a liar. There's three fingers pointing back at him while he's pointing one. Think about that. But it started back there in the Garden of Eden. Satan's deception. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, you read about some prophets and there was a situation going there and God says, who's going to go and serve my purposes in this? And it says a lying spirit came to him and said, this is what I will do. That lying spirit from Satan. Acts chapter 5. You got Ananias and Sapphira. Well, look at Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep that part of the price of the land? He's a liar. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. His role is deception, folks. That's Satan. Chapter 13 and verse 14 of Revelation. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And then there in 2 Thessalonians, it talked about him by lying wonders deceiving the people. The father of lies. That's the origin of lies. Satan is the source. The lies that are being going on in the world today. The world is Satan's domain. And the world is opposed to Jesus Christ. You ever had somebody speak against you or say some nasty things about you because you tried to witness to them about Jesus Christ? You see, you're trying to present truth. And yet, just like the Pharisees, they're of their father the devil, and the lust of the father they will do. He was a liar from the beginning. And they're opposed to the truth. The world's opposed to us because it exposes a lie and interferes with Satan's advancement of that lie. And religion is probably one of the greatest areas of Satan's work. It talked there in Corinthians about that his ministers appear as angels of light. You can go across this country, like Joel Osteen down there in Texas, and so many of these others that are angels of light. They appear right. They appear righteous. But the problem is they've deviated from the truth. John 8 and verse 40 once again. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light dispels darkness. Truth dispels error. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, that light exposes the truth and the error. And the world doesn't like that light and doesn't like that truth because it exposes what they are. They're opposed to that. The origin of the lie is Satan himself. What's the purpose of the lie? Well, again, John chapter 1, look at verse 14. John 1 and verse 14. In verse 1 it said, beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word, that is Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Pharisees opposed Him because He spoke the truth. That's what He told them. You guys claim to be of Abraham. You claim to be followers of this God of Abraham. But I'm speaking the truth. And you're resisting it. Why? Because you're not followers of the truth, as you said. Because He is full of grace and truth. There's no place for any lie in Jesus Christ. There's no place for any deception. Because once you introduce any form of a deviation from the truth, it's no longer truth. They hated that. Look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the... No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is truth. John chapter 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Once you introduce any deviation from that truth, it's no longer truth. It's got to be pure. And that deception is taking place all over the world today. Just one little element added to the truth that shades it, and suddenly it's no longer truth. Our God is truth. There's no lie in Him. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 17. I'll start in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He's promising the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, to be given to them. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And you go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it said, what withholdeth till he come? Only he who now letteth will let. That's the Holy Ghost. The truth standing in opposition to the error of the Antichrist who's going to rise up out of that Roman Empire. As long as the Holy Ghost is here in the world, that Antichrist will not be revealed. But when that trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are caught up together with in a cloud, so to be ever with the Lord, the Holy Ghost is taken out with us. He's no longer withholding. And the lie, the Antichrist, is free to be revealed at that point in time. That's what's going on today. God, the purpose of the lie is to oppose the truth. God is the truth. There's the Spirit of truth. In John 4 and verse 23, it says, well, let's look at that. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. We're to worship Him in truth. And we need to continually align ourselves, make sure that we are aligned with what's in this book. Because there, folks, there's all kinds of errors being taught out there. I don't know, well, I know what it is. I don't understand it, but I know what's going on. But there's good, fundamental Baptist churches in America that are departing from this truth, adopting the false teaching of Calvinism and a bunch of other things that have been the mainstays of biblical Christianity because they've allowed some little bit of error to come in and pull them off to the side, away from the truth of God's Word. And we, as Bible believers, need to be sure that we're staying true to what the book says. You don't have to be in line with what I say. It's here. I can make a mistake. Y'all know that pretty well by now. This never makes a mistake. This is what we need to align ourselves with. And the purpose of the lie is to pull people away from that, to overthrow God and replace the truth revealed in His Word with lies. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says this, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now there's a lot more there. We've been in this chapter before for other things, and I'm not going to go into details there, but just that one verse, you see that? They changed the truth of God into a lie. And then what it does is sets up the creature to be worshipped, not instead of, but more than the Creator. See, it's not abandoning even the worship of God. But it's just, I am worshipped more than God. Well, I still love God. But, see, and that's what's going on today. And that's what's so deceptive about it. Because you say, well, they're still love God, they're still serving God, but. And that lie gets introduced. And there's error and a deviation from the truth. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, here is the fall of Satan from heaven, who is the anointed cherub that covereth, if you please, second in command. He was, in a sense, God's right-hand man before this. But here's what happened. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 8, you see Him seeming to fulfill what He set out to do originally. Replacing the sacrifice in the temple by worship of Himself. Standing in the place of God to be worshipped as God. That's Satan's desire. That's Satan's goal. That's what all that he strives for. That's what's at the root of the lie. To detract from God and to worship. Satan doesn't care if you worship him, as long as you don't worship God. Understand that? It's not... Does he want worship? Yes. But if he can at least turn you away, that's what Job's about. Right. Satan tried to turn Job away from God. That's what he desires to do to each and every one of us. And lies are how he does that. Introducing things that are going to cause us to deviate from the worship of God. Ben's friends with the family. These folks are good folks. They love God. They're doing a lot of things in service of God. But you know, and it's not immoral what's going on. There's no wickedness there, but they have been turned away from the truth of God. And they believed some lies. And what they're doing is destroying, what the Father is doing is destroying His family. Because He has believed a lie of Satan. It's messing that thing up. And that can happen to any one of us, folks. We need to be on guard against that. Look at Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. You know, one of the greatest things that's taken place in Christianity to introduce lies is to undermine the authority of the Word of God. This the book that I was telling you about, the Bible of Inclusivism, this guy that wrote this thing, he uses probably about 20 different versions of the Bible in his arguments. You know what it is? Well, let's see. This one says what I like here. And this one says what I like here. And this one says what I like here. There's no consistency. And when you're choosing all these different sources as an authority, you become the authority. This one's mine. I don't look at another version. I just read what God says. I have a final authority. I have an inerrant Bible. Well, this one's not good enough here. It didn't properly translate this word. So it's not inerrant. And you decide what is and what is not correct. Worshiping above the Creator. My God promised to preserve His word from this generation forever. That's what I got. An inerrant Bible. Preserved. But Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And that's what's going on in America today. We don't need these archaic Victorian laws. We can worship what we want, how we want. You know, come as you are and leave as you were. The Word of God ought to have some effect on our hearts and lives. Amen. If it's preached. And these people just want to cast it away, want nothing to do with it. That's the purpose of the lie, to undermine the truth of the Word of God. Opposing the lie. What do we need to do to oppose it? Arm yourselves with the truth. You go to Matthew chapter 4 and you read about Jesus Christ fasting 40 days. And then it says He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness where He was tempted of the devil. And first that after 40 days of fasting, the first temptation that Satan put before Jesus Christ was, you can make those stones into bread, can't you? You haven't eaten in 40 days. You're hungry, aren't you? How about just a little bit of bread? You can do it. Satan knew he could do it. And what did Jesus do? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quoted Scripture. Well, the Scripture says that He's given His angels charge over thee that shall not dash thy foot against a stone. Come on, jump down off of this temple here. Let me see. Those angels come to your rescue. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In Him only shalt thou serve. Well, look. You and I both know where this thing's going to end up. All that you're going to have to endure. So I'll tell you what. See all these kingdoms of the world here? It says He took them to a high mountain where they could see all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That just boggles my mind when I think about that. But Satan was able to do that with Jesus Christ. That they both stood there and saw all the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, all this will I give you if you'll bow down and worship Me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Those three temptations, and Satan left. Three simple scriptures that Jesus Christ quoted to send the devil packing. Arm yourselves with the Word of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God that we're to place on ourselves, to equip ourselves with. Notice what he says starting in verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The real enemies are not in Washington, D.C. The real enemy is spiritual wickedness in high places, who those in Washington, D.C. are just puppets of. He's pulling the strings. They are taken captive by Him at His will. He says, wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Notice what he says, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You've got to have the truth. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to be armed with the truth of God's Word. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. In John 17, 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Here in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, it says this. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Christian, we need to know this book. We need to rightly divide this book to be able to stand in this evil day. And as he goes on in Ephesians 6, where he says, and having done all, to stand. Having your loins girt about with truth. God's given us what we need to oppose the lie right here. And sadly, so many Christians across this nation are completely ignorant of what this book teaches. You know, that Wednesday night program of the Truth Trackers is taking this and hiding it in the hearts of these precious little ones here. Man, that's good. Some of these kids know more Bible than a lot of mature Christians do. People have been amazed at the things that some of these kids know. Thank God for that. Amen. That's what's going to help us to stand against the error. We've got an inerrant word that's preserved for us by God. It possesses the answers to life's questions. It even reveals to us some things that are going to take place in the future. But more importantly, it reveals to us some things about the past that I need to know and understand to see what's coming in the future and where this whole thing's going and who's behind where it's going or where he wants it to go anyway. The answers to life's questions found in this book. And Christians, we need to speak the truth. Not just a part of the truth, all of the truth. In love, don't forget that part of it. Because sometimes we fundamentalists are pretty lacking in that love part. And we're quick to condemn. But how about love? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may I grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for he remembers one of another. Oh, Christians, make sure you know and understand the truth and speak it. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us, God, to know and to love the truth of your word so that we can perceive the lies when they are presented to us. To see through the deception that is so much a part of our society today and our culture. And God, help us to be faithful in speaking the truth of your word to those around us, that they might be delivered from Satan, those who are taken captive by him at his will. God, I pray that you'll challenge the hearts of your people with this message this morning. Help us, God, to see how we need to arm ourselves with this truth. And then to go on the attack with it. Too often times we shy back, we just sit back and let the lies prevail. God, may we not be guilty of doing nothing when there's something we could do. And help us, God, to pray diligently for our nation and for those around us in this time of great deception. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.